title of the series is Redemption. Would you please say that? Say Redemption. And today I want to talk about another chance. The subtitle is Another Chance. Would you please say that? Say another chance. I want you to just look to your neighbor and say, man, God's going to give you another chance. Why don't you go ahead and just pinch somebody. Find him, pinch him, and say, hey, God, it's never too late. God's going to give you another chance. Come on, find somebody. I want to read John chapter 8, the first 11 verses. I'll start with verse 2. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the disciples, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." And so for centuries, people have read this. People begin to commentate, even through some of the early writers and leaders of the church. And the big question is, what did Jesus write on the ground? What did he write? And most commentators, most early church leaders in church history, think that he probably wrote something like Leviticus 20, verse 10. Just the reference to the scripture, because in that, in the Old Testament, when a woman committed adultery, they were to stone her, but they were also to stone the man. Both of them needed to be there. And so many commentators feel like he was writing Leviticus 20, verse 10, to refer to that. And then remember in Exodus 31, verse 18, it says that the law was written by the finger of God. I don't think it's by accident that he stooped down and he began to write something. If God was writing the law on Mount Sinai, it could very well have been the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, who was writing that law. And so it'd be quite fitting if he is writing in the ground with his finger. Think about this as well, that the law was introduced on Mount Sinai, but in when Jesus started his ministry on the Sermon of the Mount, so from a second mountain, he introduces the new covenant. So he'll say things like, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." He's introducing the new covenant. And so from the Mount of Sinai, the law of God came, but from the Sermon on the Mount, grace is released to us. And so this is an amazing scripture. This here is redemption, because the Lord does not condemn this woman, but instead he releases grace to her. And so he doesn't say that her sin's okay. He says, "I don't condemn you," but then he says, "Go forth and don't sin anymore." So this is redemption. I want you to say redemption. Say that. So she's given another chance. Now, I shared with you four aspects of redemption that I believe will give you an understanding by way of definition. The first one is that redemption is buying back. When you see the word redemption theologically, think of it in terms of buying something back. And I gave you the illustration of an artist, and I heard this story that he became quite famous. And after he became famous, one day he was walking along the street and he saw in an art store, he saw a painting that he had painted years and years before, but it was cracked, it was peeling, the frame was cracked. And so he wanted to take that painting and fix it up and maybe improve on it, but he had to go in and buy the painting. And let's show that picture if we could, because this gives us a sense of redemption. Yeah, where there is a painting that needs to be bought back and needs to be touched up. That's redemption. A second idea of redemption is rescuing, that God is finding, looking for those who are lost. I would say this, I think it's quite intense if you think about this, a child who has been kidnapped. Have that picture in your mind, that redemption is going and rescuing that child, finding a lost or a kidnapped child. The third one is that redemption is fixing. It's fixing something that is broken, like a vase or like a bowl that is broken. You pick it up, you glue it back together. There's still redemption. It's still redeemable, that vase is fixable. And the fourth one is that redemption is making something good. And so think in terms like a coupon or a gift certificate. Somebody gives you a coupon, a gift certificate, but then when you cash it in or you redeem its value, that's redemption. So four images that I want us to have in our mind, that redemption is buying back, it's rescuing, it's fixing, and it's making something good. Redemption is giving you another chance. And so I want to talk through some concepts about having another chance, and I think every one of us can relate to this. I just want to speak very prophetically today that if you've messed up, God forgives you. If you've messed up, God wants to heal your heart. If you've messed up, it's never too late. Say amen to that, okay? And sometimes you might feel the sting of consequences, but you need to hear the word of the Lord today that there is redemption. God wants to buy some things back. He wants to fix some things. He wants to glue some stuff back together. He wants to restore and repair some things. And he wants to make what's good in your life. That's redemption. He wants to give you another chance. And so let's say this out loud. Say, it's never too late. Say that, it's never too late. Now pinch your neighbor and say, hey, it's never, never too late. And so I'm going to go through some things here that I think if you'll receive this into your heart and receive prophetically, I think the Lord will really encourage you today. So the first one is this, is when you feel disqualified. I wonder if there's someone here where you have felt disqualified. Have you ever made a mistake and then you feel like you're disqualified spiritually? Maybe you made a mistake relationally or financially and there's something in your heart, you feel disqualified. Well, you're not alone because many of us have felt disqualified. And certainly in the scriptures, you can see that there were those that felt disqualified. How about Moses? Moses, a great man of God. He felt disqualified. And so you remember that Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household. We find that out in Hebrews. We actually find out that Moses was powerful in speech and action. And so he saw the injustice, and he wanted to do it in his own strength. And as a result, he actually murdered a person and had to flee for his life. So he spends 40 years in the desert. So now when God calls him, he feels disqualified because of his mistake. And I think many of us might be able to relate to that, where you might feel disqualified. Listen to Exodus 3 in verses 9 to 11. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He felt disqualified. And so he felt completely like he could not do what God wanted him to do because of the mistake that he had made. And so I want to speak just a loving word to you, a gracious word today, that you might feel disqualified, but listen very carefully, God qualifies you. So if you'll receive his grace and his healing, you'll receive his redemption and realize God gives you another chance. You're not going to be disqualified because of God's redemption and his grace. Amen? So that's Moses in the Old Testament. What about Paul in the New Testament? Think about Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, we would consider him one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. He planted churches all over the known world. He wrote letters to these churches. They were compiled and put into the New Testament. But yet, he was responsible for the death of many Christians. He was responsible for persecuting Christians, for Christians dying. And so he felt disqualified. Listen to what he says, 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10. This is out of the NLT. He goes, "For I am the least of all apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church." So he felt really disqualified, but yet God calls him. And so he was very humbled by that. It says, he goes on, "But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I've worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace." Would you please say grace, grace? And so he felt disqualified, and yet God calls him, and he's used remarkably by the Lord as an apostle, as a leader in the church, even though he had made some terrible, terrible mistakes. So I don't know what you're feeling today. I don't know all of your past. I know many of you and what you've walked through, but you might be here today and feel disqualified. Can you receive God's love and grace and know that Jesus qualifies you? Amen? So don't shrink back, don't hold back, but just receive his love and his grace, because God's the one who qualifies you. And you'll discover this, that God has never found somebody qualified to work for him yet. None of us are really qualified. So if you're disqualified, you feel disqualified, know this, God qualifies you. Can you say amen to that? And so that's really, really important. Now, closely related to this is this feeling that we have sometimes that we're unqualified. So you might feel disqualified because of a mistake, but you also might feel unqualified. And I want to reference Gideon. Gideon in the Old Testament, he felt very unqualified. The people of Israel were being taken advantage of by their neighbors, their enemies, the Midianites. And God calls Gideon to come and overthrow the Midianites. And he felt so unqualified. Listen to the scripture, and this is in Judges 6, 12 to 15. I'm going to read it out of the NASB. So the Lord comes to him, and we realize that this is actually Jesus. It's a Christophany, the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." The NIV says, "mighty warrior." So he comes to him and says, "Man, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior." He calls him a warrior. But if you read the text, he's actually hiding from the enemy. So he's in hiding, but yet God speaks to him, says he's a mighty warrior. Then Gideon said, "Oh Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did the Lord not bring us from Egypt?" You might be here today and you feel that you're hiding. God's calling you to something great. He says, "You know what? You are a mighty man of God. You're a mighty woman of God." And you respond and say, "Well, I don't feel like a mighty warrior. In fact, if you're with me, Lord, why have I had so many trials in my life? If you're with me, why have I had so many problems in my life?" This is what Gideon is saying. But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in the strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian." The NIV says it this way, "Go in the strength that you have." In other words, he says, "You're a mighty warrior." And Gideon says, "If I'm a mighty warrior, then, and if you're with me, why have all these bad things happened?" And the Lord ignores him and says, "Just go in the strength that you have." So he continues to argue with the Lord about this. He says, "Go in the strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" But he said to him, "O Lord, how am I to save Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house." Yet the Lord said to him, "I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man." So he says, I'm not qualified. I don't come from a great family. In fact, in my family, I'm even the least in my family. And so he argues, with him. But the Lord ignores him again, ignores his excuses of feeling unworthy and unqualified, and says, go and just start in the strength that you have and watch how I give you strength and how you're going to defeat the enemy. Now, that's a strong word for every one of us today, because God is saying to you, mighty warrior. God is saying, I have an amazing plan for your life. I want you to accomplish great things. And you might say, well, I feel really unqualified. I don't have the skill set. I don't have the training. I don't feel that great about myself. Hear the word of the Lord today. You are qualified because of Christ. Amen, church. And so this is really, really important. And so you might argue back with the Lord, but he says that you are qualified. And so he takes Midian, who's really a weakling, who's really a wimp, he's hiding from the enemy, and calls those things that are not as though they are, and says, you're a mighty warrior. You know, God is looking at you today and calling you the way he sees you in the future. He's not calling you by the way you were in your past necessarily, or by the way, according to the mistakes that you made. He's looking at you through Christ and looking at the finished product. So he looks at you and says, mighty warrior. You might feel unqualified, but I'm here to tell you today that you're going to be qualified in Christ. That's the power of redemption. Amen? So we look at Gideon, but look at the New Testament. What about Peter? Here's Peter who was called by the Lord, and yet he actually doesn't feel very qualified because he actually denies the Lord, and yet God restores him to the ministry. But you can see it as you're reading the letters of Peter. In fact, I think he was reminding himself that he was qualified in the Lord. Listen to 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. This is out of the NLT. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Man, he needed that revelation because he had denied the Lord. He didn't feel like he had much to offer. He needed this revelation. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to him, says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. I want you to know that. You have everything that you need today to do what God has called you to do. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. Everything you need has been given to you from the Lord. Amen, church? And so often we'll feel unqualified and think we have to get this or that, or when I receive this, then I'll do what God has called me to do. I want you to know today you have everything you need to get started. That's why he looked at Gideon and said, go in the strength that you have. Get started with what you have. You have everything you need to live a life of godliness. Everything you need for divine power, the Lord has actually given it to you. And so you might feel unqualified, but again, hear the word of the Lord today. You are qualified because of redemption. You're qualified because of the finished work of Christ on the cross and through the resurrection. You are qualified today because you're his child. Can you say amen to that? And so you might be here today and feel disqualified. You might disqualify yourself, but God doesn't disqualify you. You might feel unqualified, but God does not say that you are unqualified. Here's another feeling that we often have that keeps us from really receiving redemption. It's when you feel overlooked. When you feel overlooked, there might be somebody here today that you have felt overlooked. Maybe you applied to a university and you couldn't get in. Maybe you applied for a job and you were rejected. Maybe you were overlooked. And I want you to know today that even if others have overlooked you, God never overlooks you. And so when you're waiting for promotion, your boss, you might feel like your boss is overlooking you, but hear the word of the Lord. God sees everything you've done, and he will promote you in the way he wants to and in his timing. And guess what? It might not even be within that company. He might have to promote you out of that company. And so it's the Lord. It's the Lord who qualifies you, and it's the Lord who promotes you. So you might feel overlooked. This, I think, is really illustrated at the birth of the church and God was just really moving strongly. People were getting saved. And so they started to feed some of their widows. And there was a division that took place. And as they were feeding the widows, some of the widows got overlooked. And to give you a little historical context, there were two kinds of people in the Jewish faith. One were culturally Hebrew. They spoke Hebrew, they spoke Aramaic, and so they were called Hebraic Jews. But there were other people that were just as ethnically Jewish, but culturally they were Greek. They spoke Greek. And we see that today. You might have Jews all over the world. They're ethnically Jewish, but they have a different heart language. They have a different culture. And so you have two different languages, two different cultures, but they're in the same church, and they're ethnically Jews. Remember that at the very beginning, all of them were Jewish. And so the Greek-speaking widows felt overlooked. Listen to Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Can you imagine? So because of culture, because of language, they're being overlooked. You know, we're very blessed today. We're in a multi-ethnic church. We're in a multi-racial church. We're in a multicultural church. And some of you might have had that history that's actually quite painful, where you were overlooked maybe because of your ethnicity. Or ladies, how about your gender? You might be here today and feel like, you know what, I was overlooked because I was a woman, because I was, even though I was as qualified as everybody else, I felt overlooked. This is incredibly painful when we might feel that in the natural. Or you were overlooked because you didn't have the education. Maybe you had as much experience as everyone else, but not the education. You didn't have the degree, and so you weren't given the promotion. Those things are really, really painful. And so in this case, they were actually overlooked for the distribution of food. How painful that is. But then we see, if you go on in the narrative in Acts chapter, in Acts, that even the Gentiles were starting to feel overlooked even when it came to the gospel. And so the Lord sent a very, very clear message to them. And so you'll remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to Cornelius' house and he preaches the gospel. And these guys get saved and the power of the Holy Spirit falls on them. But listen to what the scripture says. As the Holy Spirit comes on them and they receive the Lord, Acts 10, 34 to 35. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation, every ethnic group, every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. So hear the word of the Lord today. In Christ, there is no favoritism. Say amen to that. That's really, really important, because I think sometimes based on our background, if we started out very, very simple, maybe you grew up in poverty, maybe you grew up not in a very educated area, maybe you just didn't have the opportunity, you feel like you're starting down at the bottom. Hear the word of the Lord. In Christ, he lifts you up and you're qualified in him. Amen? And so the world may overlook you, but I promise you this, Jesus is not going to overlook you. Say amen to that. That is so wonderful. That is redemption. That's such great news that God is not going to overlook you. That is redemption. Here's a fourth one that might happen that I think is hard for people to receive redemption is when you feel discouraged. When you feel discouraged. And so let me reference an event that took place in the Old Testament. And this is when David, before he was king, the men who had gathered around him. It's really interesting because they were all misfits, the Bible says. But they gathered around him, and so they were creating this community. And once he and the men were off to war, and while they were off to war, all of their wives and children were attacked. And they were staying in a place called Ziklag. And so when they came back, they realized that all of their wives and children had been taken captive. Can you imagine coming home? And so here's what the scripture says. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 to 4. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. They were so broken because they had lost so much. Can you imagine the discouragement? Drop down to verse 6, and it says this, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. So discouraged, but yet he found strength in the Lord. And this is something that really, I think the Lord takes us to maturity on. Because there are times that you're going to feel very discouraged and nobody around you is going to be able to comfort you. We can try. People can speak the word. But really, sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to go to the Lord. You got to go to His word. You have to get strengthened in the Lord. So he found his strength in the Lord his God when everything seemed so impossible, like he couldn't do anything. Now, the rest of the story is they go and they're able to get their wives and their children back, and they went to war for that. But can you imagine? And so many people today, because of the battle that you might have been in, you might feel very, very discouraged. I'm here to tell you today that the Lord really, really wants to encourage you. If you see this, that like King David, he becomes king later, but if he felt discouraged and God encouraged him, then the Lord will certainly do it for you as well. Amen? Let me give you a New Testament scripture. So Paul, he spent quite a bit of time in prison for preaching the gospel. And so he would have been discouraged at different times. And so we find when he writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, we find a lot of his emotion. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:16-18. And this is probably the last letter that he wrote. There's a lot of really personal things in that letter. But we find out just a real glimpse into his heart. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:16-18. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. I wonder if there's someone here where you have felt like that everyone deserted you at one point in your life. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He got his strength and his encouragement from the Lord. So if you're here today and you feel like, man, there's nobody that even understands me, nobody has been there. There are seasons that you might go through, but the Lord is going to encourage you and he's going to stand by your side. That's your scripture. You hold on to that. Lord, you're going to stand by my side just like you did with Paul. I'm going to encourage myself in you. I have nobody else, but like David, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And he'll do the same for you because you've got the Holy Spirit. Say amen to that. Say amen to that. And so you might feel discouraged. Here's a fifth one and a final one that I think keeps us from redemption sometimes, is that when you feel overwhelmed. I wonder if there's someone here where you have felt or you're in a season where you have just felt overwhelmed by what's going on. Could be relationally, could be in your marriage, could be financially, it could be with your kids. Could be in your job, you might feel overwhelmed. So I want to reference two things in the scripture. The first one is in Mark chapter 5, and most of us are very, very familiar. This woman who had an issue of bleeding for 12 years, but she heard about Jesus, but she was overwhelmed. Listen to what the text says, Mark 5:24-29. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So if she's hemorrhaging, whatever the physical condition, but for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. I know we've had some people right here in our fellowship that you feel like that's been your situation. For years and years, fighting a situation, we're praying, we're believing, but yet her condition got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. If you feel overwhelmed, you have got to hold on to that scripture. You gotta, with just incredible courage and faith and tenacity, Lord, you've got to say, Lord, this is my scripture. I'm just like that woman, but I'm going to hold on. I'm pressing in to touch you to receive my heal. I'm here to tell you today, if you can get a hold of this, that redemption, it's never too late. Say amen to that. 12 years, you might have struggled with something for a decade or more. It's never too late. You've got to really go to the Lord and go to the Word and say, man, I dare to believe that even if I feel overwhelmed, that God has an answer for me. Amen, church? Let's go back to the Apostle Paul. Think about Paul, okay? So Paul traveled all over the known world, but he was persecuted. He had been stoned. Many scholars believe that he was raised from the dead, that he was stoned to death one time. He had been beaten many times. This guy had been tortured. He had suffered. More than that, he just had all of this persecution with people accusing him and persecuting him in his ministry. So listen to 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 8 to 11. He says this to them, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure so that we despaired even of life." There might be someone here today where you felt like you've despaired even of life. You maybe have gone through something and thought, you know what, why should I even live? You might have this thought go through your mind. I have a pretty good life insurance policy. You might start thinking, well, why should I even live? You felt like you even despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. If you feel overwhelmed, I'm going to encourage you to memorize that scripture where you say to yourself over and over that, you know what? This happened that I might not rely on myself, but on God who raises the dead. You might be in a place where you feel like, man, I feel like I got to be raised from the dead emotionally. I got to be raised from the dead physically. But this is your scripture. You got to say, you know what? This has even happened so that I don't rely on myself. If you're really honest, you probably have relied on yourself way too much. Maybe relied on other people way too much. But sometimes, I'm talking to the mature here, sometimes these things happen so that you'll press in and go into God and say, you know what? I'm going to rely on God, not on myself. Say amen to that. And so this is incredible. Paul says this. And then he says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul understood redemption. Please say redemption. Now please say this, another chance. And there's always another chance. Redemption is all about him fixing the painting. The redemption is all about him taking the broken vest and gluing it back together. Redemption is all about him rescuing to save the lost. That's what redemption is all about. This is redemption. And so I want us to say that, let's pause for a moment. I just want you to say this out loud. Say, Jesus, I believe that it's never too late. So it's never too late for your marriage. Say amen. It's never too late for your finances. Say amen. It's never too late for your kids. Say amen. Amen. It's never too late for your spouse. If you're sitting next to them, bump them and say amen. Okay. It's never too late for me. Say that. It's never too late for me. Say it. It's never too late. It's never too late. That's redemption. This is the power of redemption. And we got to get a hold of this. This is the motivation. This is the stirring of life. And I've discovered this. When you've got the Spirit of God in you, He's the Spirit of life. And so hope is released and joy is released and motivation is released. Yeah, we all go through times, but then He comes with His loving Word. And His Word is living and active. And he says, son, I want to heal you. Daughter, I want to heal you. And he begins to breathe life and hope inside of you again. And something rises up where you say, man, this can be redeemable. I can take this coupon and make it good. Hallelujah. It's like you find in some sort of a stock and bond that was left to you, passed on to you in your inheritance, and you didn't even know it was there, but you pulled it off, and you say, wow, millions, I can make this good. It's never too late, amen? And so I really pray that you'll receive this word and say, you know what, if I feel disqualified, I'm not because of Christ. If I feel unqualified, I am not because of Christ. If I feel overwhelmed, I am not because God is going to strengthen me. If I feel discouraged, I'm not because He is going to rise up inside of me and encourage me, and it's still redeemable. Amen, church? I'm going to amen myself. So I close with this. Redemption is getting another chance. And some of us really need to hold on to that. It could be in any area of your life, but just hear the word of the Lord. It's getting another chance. God is all about giving you another chance. Say amen to that. I close with this true story. There was a man by the name of Raymond Kolbe. He was born in Poland in 1894. In 1907, he became a Franciscan friar. And then in 1910, in the traditional Catholic system, he takes on the name Maximilian Kolbe. He's quite a remarkable man. He served as a missionary to Asia. He became a seminary professor. And then while he was serving at a monastery in Poland, he published a daily newspaper that was considered anti-Nazi. Fast forward to February of 1941, because of that publication and because of his stand publicly against Nazism, the monastery was shut down and he was imprisoned. In May of 1941, he's transferred to Auschwitz. A couple of months later, in July of 1941, in Auschwitz, a prisoner escaped. So the deputy camp commander, he chose 10 men to be starved to death in an underground bunker to deter future attempts at escaping. And so there was a man named Franciscus, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Gonjowinus. He was one of the 10 men chosen. And as he's being chosen and called out to go into the bunker, this man, Francis, begins to cry out, my wife, my children. He just starts weeping. And so Kolbe sees him and is really touched by that. And he says, hey, I'll volunteer. Let me go in place of this man. True story, the commander of the camp let him take his place. And so they're deprived of food and water in this underground bunker, without food, without water, for 2 weeks, and six of them die. Four are left. Kolbe's still one of them. And so the guards wanted, true story, they wanted to empty the bunker. So what they did is they gave him injections of carbolic acid. And so the remaining four were killed. But there was an eyewitness to all of this, a janitor, who watched everything. And he said that while these men were starving to death, Kolbe was just as calm as could be, and he would lead them all in prayer in this bunker. He literally gave his life for this man, Francis. And what about Francis? Well, he was given another chance. He was transferred to another camp, but in 1944, he was reunited with his wife, Helen. Now that is redemption. That man gave his life for somebody else. And I want you to know today, Jesus gave his life so that things could be redeemed in your life, so that you could have another chance. The first thing is that you would have eternal life. But secondly, that you'd have another chance in everyday life. Now listen very carefully. The Bible's very, very clear. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so God's given you a gift, but you got to receive it. You had to receive that gift of salvation. And so spiritual death is separation from God. But if you'll receive Christ as your personal Savior, then He'll redeem your life. And the great news is that redemption continues on in your everyday living. He'll give you another chance. You say amen, church? Let's stand to our feet.